Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We're streaming live on the Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by friends at Crop Metcalf. Later this hour, coming up at 9:45, your chance to win HF Festival tickets. HF Festival 2024 hits Nationals Park September 21st. Going to talk some Nationals right now to Mike Rizzo, the president and GM of the Nationals, presented by Main Street Bank. Cheer local, bank local, put their team in your office. Visit mstreetbank.com for more information. Morning, Mike.
Good morning, Junkies. How are you guys?
So I was telling the boys, I saw a pretty cool picture of James Wood, who grew up going to Orioles games, I think with his dad and maybe his grandpa. And then he has that four-hit game against the Orioles. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I saw that picture also. It was funny. Yeah, it's always good to see the young the big leaguers when they're young kids. That you know shows that they're just true baseball fans that grew up just like everybody else, except for they kept growing and getting better.
He kept growing a lot. Yeah,
dude, he's already got what, 2 4-hit games already in just like 35, 36 games, whatever the hell it is. I mean, you got to be thrilled with where he is at this point.
Yeah, you know, the thrilling part is to see him getting better each day. You know, he's bringing a major league routine to the ballpark every day, and you know, getting better in left field. And you know, the bat was pretty foolproof. You know, in the minor leagues, and you know, coming on, he's already made some adjustments with his swing and his approach at the plate. So. Not only the results and performance on the field, you know, when he hits the ball, you know, it's hit as hard as anybody's in the game, and you know, his exit velocities are elite, and you know, the ball sounds different coming off his bat than a lot of other players. So we're thrilled about where he's at as a player and as a big leaguer, and we're just. You know, watching in wonderment that, you know, I think that this guy is just scratching the surface of what he could be at the end of the day.
Yeah, I mean, his batting average jumped 20 points after last night.
So what is it up to now?
He's at 283. Yeah. So in the month of August, Mike, and I know you know this, but just throwing it out for the listeners, he's 15 for 40. He's hitting 375 in the month of August with, you know, a couple bombs, 10 RBIs, and, you know, 11 runs scored. I mean, he's putting up some numbers in the month of August. And how about the three young guys last night? You called up Chaparro. You could tell us more about him. I know you got him in the trade for Floro for the D-backs. But Abrams, James, and the kid that you – I guess he's not a kid. I think he's 24 or 25. But they go 10 for, like, 15 last night.
Yeah, it was a good day at the ballpark yesterday for us. It was exciting to see Chaffee get to the big leagues after a long minor league career, and you know, it was a you know, whenever you trade for a player, you know we identified a guy that we really liked, and Dylan Floro was a player that was helping us this year and would have continued to help us throughout the rest of the season, and Chaparro wasn't your typical prospect type of guy, but our scouts really liked him, and we identified him as a bat that we could could fit with us long term. I think he's 25 years old, but he can really swing it, and we like his approach at the plate. He's got a short swing, you know, high leg kick, but he gets his foot down in time and is really in good position to hit. You know, he has something that that we don't have a lot of in the lineup, and that's power. And you know, he's a bat first type of guy that can play third, first, and DH. He's mostly a first baseman and a DH, but a right-handed bat with some pop. It was kind of an unconventional route that we took to acquire him. Wasn't your typical prospect type of guy at the trade deadline, but we were really enthralled with the bat and see some possibilities of this guy being a real type of hitter that could help us.
Why do you think it took so long for him to make his major league debut, being 25?
You know, I think it's, you know, all development, I say this all the time, all developments are not linear. You know what I mean? A lot of it has to do with, you know, performance and skills and tools are obviously the utmost and most important. But opportunity and where, what team are you with and what's the setup of that team? Are you blocked by people and that type of thing? I think a lot of that has to do with with, you know, some of the timelines of players getting to the big leagues, and every big leaguer has their own story. You know, a lot of often, you know, they're not the Juan Soto type of story, right, where you know you sign him, he spends a little bit in the time in the big leagues, he tears up every league. There's an opportunity in the big leagues, and he never looks back at 19 years old, and he becomes a superstar. So there's a lot of hills and valleys in these things, and it's you know, the one thing that he could do, you know, throughout his career, he could always hit, and I always say, if you can really hit and you've got some power, people will find a place for you.
Hey, getting back to James, do you see him, do you envision him as a defensively as a left fielder or a right fielder going forward? Let's just say opening day next year, do you think he's a left fielder or right fielder?
I think he's capable of playing all three. He's capable of playing center field in the big leagues. I think that, you know, he'd probably be in the big leagues as a center fielder for us if we didn't have a gold glove center fielder right now that's playing very well for us in Jacob Young. So, you know, again, his ceiling is so high and, you know, his future is so bright. You know, he could fit a bunch of different spots in the field. And you know, his best position to me is in the batter's box, and gives us, you know, a dangerous hitter that can hit for average and power.
Yeah. I was going to say he could play anywhere. Talk about Jake Irvin last night, 6 innings, allowed 2 runs, ERA, he got his 9th win, ERA below 3.8. And that's a good lineup that he kind of shut down last night for 6 innings.
Yeah, it's a good lineup. That, you know, they're running, you know, high 7s, low 8 OPSs at you, you know, up and down the lineup. So it's a tough lineup to navigate. And Jake did a heck of a job, you know, getting through that lineup and giving us 6 strong innings, and the bullpen took over. So, yeah, I mean, you know, Jake is Jake. He's ultra aggressive. He's ultra confident. He pounds the strike zone, I was really excited about yesterday. You know, he's fastball. He's forcing fastball and good curveball. Yesterday, he really implemented his changeup into his repertoire often, and it was very, very effective for him. So that was an exciting a part of his start yesterday. So hopefully, he could take that and run with that for the rest of the year and throughout his career, because he's got a great changeup when implemented. He needs to use it more often.
What have you seen from Mackenzie Gore lately, Mike?
You know, a pitcher struggling for command and mechanics, and a guy with great stuff that hasn't harnessed it yet. I like to think that you know, he's such an intelligent person and an intelligent pitcher, Hickey and Doolittle, and he will get their heads together and figure out what the issue is and correct it. I like the totality of his game. I mean, he's got great stuff. He's got great athleticism. He's got a great body, and. You know, I think it's just a matter of time before, you know, he gets, flips the switch and turns it back on. You know, don't forget the first 12 starts of the season, he was the number one starter on anybody's rotation. And the last 13 haven't been nearly as good. So consistency throughout a long season, you have to learn that. And you have to learn how to pitch without your grade A stuff. And I think that he's learned these lessons, like a lot of our young pitchers have learned their lessons this year. And I think when he comes out the other side of it, he'll be better for it.
And it's not a like a injury thing or like losing velocity as the season's gone on, anything like that, right?
No, his velo is right where he's supposed to be on his fastball. I see some of these crazy stats all the time. You know, where when he's ahead of the count, you know, hitters are hitting 126 against him, and when he's behind the count, they're hitting, you know, 426. So you know, the difference of strike one and in a bat is very, very important for every starting pitcher, every pitcher in general. But for him, it's extremely important because it sets up all his really good secondary stuff. And I just think that he's got to get back into the model where his mechanics allow his arm to get in position to have all four of his pitches come out of the same window and at the same release point. And when that happens, he'll get back to that guy that that pitched the first 12 starts for us and not the guy who's pitched the last 13 starts for us.
I didn't realize this. I should know this, but I didn't realize that he was the third pick overall in 2017.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I just didn't realize that.
Yeah, I mean, he'll break out of it. You know that, Mike.
He's got a lot of talent. There's no question 100%. About it. A lot of talent, and he really, really, really wants it. Sometimes wants it too much and is too tough on himself. But I want to settle a guy down rather than lift a guy up. So I think that's all indicative of his makeup and where he's going to be at in his career. Again, the needle is definitely moving north on this guy, and a guy that we have high hopes for in the future to lead this rotation.
Hey, Mike, I wanted to ask you about Robles, and he obviously didn't work out for you guys for the last couple of years. He really struggled, you know, not just that he couldn't stay healthy, and then he made some mental gaffes. So you guys designated for him for assignment, and then he signed with the Mariners, and he's been with the Mariners, I don't know, 40 games or so. His average has dipped a little bit the last few games. He's hitting 260, but he was hitting the ball pretty well. And then he was asked by Shannon Dreyer, who is a reporter out in Seattle, and just talking about being with Scott Service and the Mariners, he said, this was Robles talking about Scott Service. He goes, from our first conversation, I felt Scott had known me all my life because he told me, I want you just to be yourself and nobody else. And he said, when I heard that, I got goosebumps. And from that moment on, I knew this is where I wanted to be. I don't know if that's necessarily an indictment on Davey, but what are your thoughts on those comments about just being in Seattle and being yourself? I don't really get that.
I didn't see the comments yet. I'm just hearing them for the first time. But Vic was a great national. He was part of the 19 championship team. I signed him, developed him, got him to the big leagues at a young age, and he played really well for us. And you know, due to injuries and some inconsistencies, it didn't work out for us. Happy as can be that things are working out in Seattle. Glad to see that he's going to make some money and sign that extension to take care of his family in the future. So all positives. I don't have a negative thing to say about Vic. And he always played with his hair on fire for us, and was a good guy in the clubhouse and a good teammate. So, you know, I don't know, feeling comfortable in his new situation is terrific. And you know, when you struggle at your original home and you get to a new place, you know, I think that you maybe embrace that and appreciate that feeling even a little bit more. So, wish Vic nothing but the best unless we're playing him, and then you know, to have a good season and see if he can get in the playoffs again.
I always ask you every week about Dylan Cruz. He's been hot, just looking at his numbers at Rochester. He's had hits in, it looks like, 10 of his last 12 games. He had two three-hit games in those games too. So Dylan Cruz getting a little hot down there at we're up there at Rochester. Any sign of, you know, possibly seeing him in the next couple weeks?
Well, he's getting it together at the AAA level. You know, I actually thought he'd be, you know, a more efficient hitter at the AAA level than at the AA level because of, you know, they have the automated strike zones and that type of thing. So it's something that we had planned on him, you know, going to AAA, getting that walk rate up and the strikeout rate down, which has happened. And I think that you know, he's swinging the bat really well, playing great outfield. We've got him playing in center field and in right field in anticipation that you know, that's where he'll play when he gets to, you know, gets to Washington in the big league. So, you know, we've got a plan in place for him. We've got high hopes for him and House and a bunch of other guys down in the minor league system. Our minor league system is flourishing pretty good right now. We've got a lot of good players up and down the organization, and you know, it's as deep as we've ever been since the beginning of the organization. And I think our minor league system is as talented as we've ever seen it.
Yeah.
All right, Mike.
Numbers up 270. He's hitting 270. He's got 12 bombs, 60 RBIs, 22 stolen bases.
Not bad.
That'll work.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
He's pretty good.
All right. Thank you, Mike. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, guys. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
All right. Bud. Thank you, buddy.
It's Mike Rizzo, present GM of the Washington Nationals, presented by Main Street Bank. Cheer local, bank local. Put their team in your office. Visit mstreetbank.com for more information. I think I asked him about Dylan Cruz last week. You're going to ask him every week. But yeah, that's what I think Nats fans are waiting for. Get a little snapshot of what the future is going to look like.
I guess. Yeah. I mean, definitely. But I just like these September calls.
Maybe September. Yeah.
I mean, is it going to be that? I mean,
you just get a little taste.
Get a little taste.
Preview.
Will they play him every day?
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
All right. So I get like 30 games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, then I'm into it.
Get to see Cruz and Wood in the outfield.
By the way, where's Joey Meneses? He's hurt or something? Why has he not played in like a while? He's still on the roster, right?
I think they designated him for assignment, didn't they?
Oh, they did? I didn't know that.
Didn't they?
Okay. All right.
I thought they did. Let me see.
I missed it. If they did, well,
That was weeks ago.
Yeah, I might have been on vacation or something.
I see in the latest news, he hit a 2-run home run for Rochester.
So
he's down in Rochester.
It's over. Okay. Oh, too bad.
Coming up next, we'll open up EB's entertainment page here on the Junkies.